Hope you're enjoying an amazing Thanksgiving. You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Maggie Don Show. What is up, y'all? Happy Thanksgiving Eve. I'm so looking forward to this holiday. My name's Maggie Don. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And in honor of this annual tradition, I am very excited to celebrate the second annual Maggie Don Show Festivus for Thanksgiving with my good friend, Dan Terrio. Dan, welcome back to the show for our second Thanksgiving celebration.
Wow. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. We're going to talk about the importance of observing Native American culture and heritage in this month. Yep. We're going to answer the question that every non-First Nation person wants to know is, do Native Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? And we're going to talk about some of the stereotypes. We're going to break all that down. And we're going to have a ton of fun with each and every one of you. We're going to be talking about our favorite Thanksgiving traditions. Yep. We're going to talk about some of our favorite holiday films to kick off this holiday season. We might talk a little deep-fried turkey at the Packers tailgate tactics. All those good things.
I'm thinking about it right now.
I know.
I'm not having deep fried turkey. I wish I was, right. But you know, I'm not thinking about
it. We might even
it.
Talk a little turducken. Who knows what will come up. Folks, if you're going to have great stories or recipes or memories to share, turkey tactics, if you know the difference between stuffing and dressing, we're going to get to all of that, y'all. We're going to have a good time. Yes,
There's a difference?
Between stuffing and dressing? Yes, there is.
Mind is officially blown.
Blown!
Wow.
Thank you so much for tuning in to celebrate this time together, everybody. It's certainly a privilege to have you joining us again on this Thanksgiving Eve. If you are on the road and traveling to see loved ones, please take your time. There's a lot of traffic out there. You'll get where you're getting when you get there. Trust me, the hot toddies, the brandy old-fashioned sweets, the Miller Lights, whatever your beverage of choice, they will still be there.
You can't have that if you're dead.
Yes, that's right. Slow on down, y'all. You will get there when you get there when you get there.
Yep.
One little reminder, the Deer Hunters Roundup, which has been a Northwoods tradition on Wisconsin radio for near 50 years, been hosted by Joel Karnack for 25 years, which is just incredible. It's a download of what is what, all of the fun buzzwords and code talking that occurs between hunters. You're going to find it on the Deer Hunters Roundup each night during the hunt from 6 to 8 p.m., including this evening. You can find that roundup on WCQN, WHSM, WIRI, and of course, on the Civic Media app for free. The gift that keeps on giving and costs you nothing but gives so much great conversation and real news to all your friends and family. Do check out that Deer Hunters Roundup. I might give it a listen. I'll be doing maybe a little cooking and cleaning this afternoon. Maybe I'll turn on a little Deer Hunters Roundup and learn a couple of two, three things.
I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued.
Super intrigued. Dan and I will be checking it out. We'll be commenting, asking Joel novice questions. Have you ever been deer hunting, Dan?
I haven't.
I have.
I ran over a squirrel as a kid and mm-hmm. I cried. I don't know how I would be able to handle shooting a deer.
Okay, so Dan's out for the deer.
I will eat venison though.
Yes, delicious.
Bring it to me. Yes. I will eat it. I won't kill it.
Yes, you did not for the field dressing.
No,
not that
no.
kind of dressing.
No.
Not that kind of stuffing either. Yes, I have been in a deer stand for a number of hours in my past.
See, I don't like being cold.
And, well, you get the hot packets that you, like, crack, and then they turn hot. You get those in the boots and the gloves.
But then you get too warm.
Well, there that can happen. You balance it out, you know, with the hot packs, and then of course alcohol as a depressant. It's why I don't handle firearms whenever I have a drink. Like I will leave the hunting to everyone else.
That's another fun fact too. I've never shot a gun before.
I have. I actually enjoyed doing target shooting with a bow and arrow more. It was like much more physically satisfying to me. Handguns freaked me out a lot when I've gone to gun ranges. I have really enjoyed like long range rifle shooting because you have to manage all of your physiology if you want to hit the targets. So you're breathing and your heart rate, and you really have to line it up. I've been a few times shooting, and I, as a sport, I find it absolutely captivating and fascinating. Like, it really requires a lot of different skills. I've also been duck hunting and sat in a duck blind for a long time. And yeah, you sort of, I drank past the coldness. That's what I had to do. And in any case, folks, if you're just joining us, that is the voice of my good friend, Dan Terrio. He is a social justice scholar, a community activist, an educator, and a fabulous public speaker. He's done a TED Talk. The link to some of Dan's writing and his TED Talks we're going to put in the show notes from today. You're going to want to check that out. And I brought Dan here not only because he's a good friend, but also because Dan is an enrolled member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians of North Central Wisconsin. You have been involved in your tribal educational outreach and leadership since you were a kid, basically, a 13-year-old kid. And in your profession as a human resources professional, you also work in the diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging space.
Yes.
So I could think of no one better than Dan Terrio to talk with us about issues surrounding the holiday specifically, but especially Native American traditions and culture here in the state of Wisconsin, where we have how many tribes have claim or identify as originating in some way from the Wisconsin area?
So it depends on if you have federal recognition versus state recognition.
Yes.
So it's 11 federally recognized tribes, 12 state recognized tribes. So the Brothertown Indian tribe is the one that is not federally recognized, but is state recognized and going through that. So it depends on how you look at it.
Well, the federal recognition process is extraordinarily lengthy.
Yes.
Takes a long, long time. Listen, if you've got questions or comments for Dan or I during this first hour, we're going to talk about some of these traditions, talk about why understanding Native American heritage is important. We're even going to talk about the language, because different folks from your traditions identify differently, how it's important not to get captured by language, that we just plunge ahead and have these discussions. We're going to do all of that this first hour. If you want to join our conversation, we want you to. If you're thinking about it, don't think about it. Just pick up the phone and text or call 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I thought we could start here, Dan. Now, you're a native of Bowler, Wisconsin. You live now in Milwaukee.
Yep.
But again, you've been an enrolled member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians of North Central Wisconsin since birth. And you noted, you gave me some statistics, and I thought we'd just start here as a baseline. There is 9.7 million people in the United States identify as American Indian or Alaska Native. And 13% of those nearly 10 million folks live on tribal lands, according to the 2020 census. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just over 10% living on tribal lands. So most of the folks that identify as Native American, or using the nomenclature of the United States government, American Indian still. that is not my languaging. Yeah. That is the U.S. government still. Just a small proportion live on tribal lands. So, first of all, what does it mean to be an enrolled member of a tribe?
I think it's what connects me to my culture. Like, if someone is Irish, Italian, German, African American, Asian American, I mean, the list can really go on. It's the thing that connects me to my ancestors and my history and whatnot, and really allows me to really recognize the footing that I have now in this space and, yes. and the journey that it took to get here. But I think, you know, from a membership standpoint, I think it's really important to call this out, that there are only three things that require blood to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Horses, dogs, and Native Americans.
Yep.
And to prove that worth. And I have gone on and on and on about my thoughts about blood quantum and how it doesn't really define someone's identity. But in the grand retrospect, it connects you to a people. And I think mm-hmm. even regardless without that enrollment card, I'm still connected to my people. I also have, you know, certain cultural things that I have to follow through with as mm-hmm. an Indigenous man.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm not living on quote unquote in Indigenous land, such as a reservation. I mean, the entire United States is Indigenous land. Let's be real.
Yes. You don't need to skip that part or mumble it. Let's just say that again for the record books.
You are on Indian land yes. right now.
Yes.
And so I think it's important to carry that with me everywhere. I mean, I could talk all day, every day about the people that I grew up with
yeah.
and that really shaped me into the person I am. That's what I think about when I think about my tribe.
So being an enrolled member does reflect this legal requirement
yep.
of what is termed blood quantum, which measures by some magic amount. How does it work? Like, what is, do you have to go to the federal government and actually like submit a blood sample? Do the tribes self-regulate? Like, how does that work?
So I'll share my experience.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Thanks,
so
Dan.
I was born July 1984. My
Your
dad,
baby. I
was
love
a
it.
Baby. My dad held me for 15 minutes and then had to leave me behind and drive back home to the reservation to submit a pedigree.
Oh my gosh.
Of blood to show ancestry to our tribal enrollment office to get enrollment, which would allow for the birth to be paid for by the tribe.
Wow.
And so that's normally in tribes all over. Have different, something different, where they have to submit a pedigree or a blood, certain quantum, whether it be 1/4 or
it's
a half.
It's genealogical.
It's genealogical. I can't even talk today. But there's some tribes that, depending on the amount of blood, depends on enrollment, or if it's like a like if your grandpa was Native American and certain blood quantum, you can be enrolled in a tribe. So it really depends on the tribe, but that's how it normally works. You don't submit it to the federal government, you submit it to the tribe.
To the tribe. We're going to come right back after these brief messages with Dan Terrio. We're talking about Native American intersectionality and intersectionality with our holiday that we all call Thanksgiving. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Keep on running, cause the winner don't-